Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Worth it. And I get frustrated in this world of where it just seems like there's just a separation between people that just like want to serve God wholly and people that just want to just kind of serve God. When somebody says that they're a Christian, like it means something to me. Just like if you say that you're married, like I expect you to act a certain way. If you say that we're friends, I expect you to act a certain way. And so when you're a Christian, I just expect that like that means that you want to follow Jesus and you don't want to follow this world. And more it just seems that those of us that choose to follow God in everything, we're labeled as lunatics and freaks. And I'm fine with that. I'm completely fine. They thought I was weird before I got saved. So they used to wonder if I was on drugs. True story. Amen. Let's pray over this message this morning. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you today in the powerful name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. We think that it's alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you would use this word to change us, God, that you would use it to convict us. Lord, I pray today that we would leave here with a new revelation of who you are and what you are to us. God, that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came. God, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you guys know that Christmas is over? It's over, man. It's done. Bye. Take the light. Take your lights down. Seriously. Don't be that neighbor. Don't be that neighbor that never takes down your lights and try to talk to people about Jesus and it's all hanging off your gutters and they don't work. Please, if that's you, on behalf of the rest of us, take it out of your yard, okay? Pastor Jay always says to me, he says, do you know what another word for a new year is? Tomorrow. That's what Pastor Jay always says to me. But for some reason, when the new year comes, it's a time to kind of start fresh, to make new decisions, to make declarations. And I pray that as you're moving into this new year, that you're making some of those in your own life. I think it's just a good time to just press that spiritual reset button. I know if you're anything like me, there's probably been periods of your life where you go through a spiritual drought or a desert where you feel spiritually lethargic. Have you guys ever had anything like that in your life before? Yeah. All right, three of you. All right, so listen. Come on, amen, somebody. Can you help me out? It's good. And if you haven't had a dry time in your life, I don't know, because I go through dry periods all the time. Well, the good news is that God in his wisdom has given us a means by which we can get through dry periods in our lives. Interestingly enough, it's in the Bible. I'm going to be speaking to you this morning from it. For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, I'm sorry. As I saw some of the visitors that are here this morning, I was hoping that I could have a really impressive message to make you want to come back. After this one, I'm not sure if you will. But this is what God told me to preach, so I'm just going to be obedient to it, and I'm not going to change the message just because you're here. What I want to talk to you about this morning is fasting. Amen? For those of you that don't know what fasting is, you're going to learn after this. What's sad is that actually in a Christian church, you have to explain what fasting is and encourage people to fast. And that people are reluctant to do it. There's parts of the Bible that people love, right? You tell people, amen, God wants to bless you. Amen. God wants to, heal you. Amen. God wants to give you good stuff. Amen. God wants you to fast. Crickets. People don't like to fast. They don't like to do it at all because fasting is crucifying the flesh. And it's a spiritual discipline that we're called to as Christians. And for some reason, we just believe that God doesn't want us to do anything but just love him. And that's true. But he also wants us to have some spiritual disciplines in our lives. Like being at church, it's a discipline. You had to rearrange your schedule today to be here. It shows that you have the capacity to have discipline. You had to wake up at a certain time. You had to, to be able to get here by 11:10. You really had to work hard to be able to get here. Oh, did I say that? Yeah. Man, people were like, oh, I love that church until he put us on blast. It's like, man, a lot of people go to the 9:15 too. It's fine. Now, here's the scripture that I want to talk to you guys from this morning. First service almost walked out because I didn't get to the scripture fast enough. So I want to open with a scripture, and it's from Luke chapter 5, verse 34 and 35. It says this. Where did it go? Luke chapter 5, verse 34, verse 35. He says, and he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. Jesus has left us in bodily form. The Holy Spirit has come down to us to comfort us in his absence. But the way the Bible reads is that Jesus left and then he's going to come back. And while he's gone and we're waiting for him to come back, we're supposed to be fasting. We're supposed to be preparing ourselves for his return. The hard part is that Jesus has been waiting to come back for 2,000 years, and kind of like when you invite somebody to dinner and they don't show up, there's kind of this point where people go, well, I guess they're not coming. And some people do that in their spiritual lives. They expect that God has tarried for so long that Jesus isn't going to come back. Folks, I'm going to let you know that 100% of the things that have been prophesied in this Bible have come to pass. God's track record is perfect. And so if Jesus said that he's going to come back one day, he is going to come back one day. And so we prepare ourselves for his coming back through prayer and watching and through fasting. Amen? Now, we preach on fasting around this time every single year. Our church enters into this period of fasting called a Daniel fast. And for those of you that have done it before, say amen.
Amen.
Some people have done it before. We do it every single year. I like it. I think it's a great spiritual discipline for us to do. It's going to start on January 2nd, and it's going to go on for 21 days. My goal for today is I want to talk to you about fasting, what it is, why you should do it, make you feel so horribly bad about not doing it that eventually that you will. I'm just a rare breed. When I talk to my pastor friends and they say, man, so what's your expectation for participation? 50%, 60%? I'm like, I'm 100%. 100% of people I want to do this fast. Why? Because I believe that we are a church. I don't believe in individual Christianity. I don't believe that you can just be out there floating on an island unto yourself. God has called people to be in a body of believers, and we as body of believers are called to do things for God. And so if God is going to speak to us and take us somewhere and have things for us to do, we need to call out to him. And fasting is a great way for us to come together as a church and seek out God. Amen. As I was searching out the scriptures and I was reflecting and did some research this week, something occurred to me as I was doing some research that I'd never really thought of before. Some of you may remember in the book of Genesis, there was this guy named Adam. You guys remember that guy?
Yeah.
And he had a wife named Eve. And we talk a lot about in Christian circles about original sin and how the first original sin was pride, or the first original sin was disobedience. But I finally realized this for the first time this week, is that the first sin was a sin of the stomach. They ate something, right? There was the original sin. They saw food that they wanted to put in their bellies. They were serving, it was the first idol. It was the god of the stomach. Now, in Christian circles, you start talking about the god of the stomach and people think that you're talking, you know, that's blasphemy. You know what I mean? I mean, we're eating people, you know? We have potlucks and we eat a lot of food, right? It's like the old joke says, you know, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Takes 11, one to do it and 10 to plan the potluck for after, right? I mean, we love us some eating. We love to eat. And so when you're in Christian circles and you start talking about restricting your diet, everybody thinks that you're being mean. You know, and like, heck, man, Jesus took everything else away from me. Now I can't eat either. What's left? Water. Bless God.
Amen.
You will never thirst. The bread of life, you'll never go hungry. The appetites of the flesh have been haunting the child of God ever since. We need to be people who do not live underneath the power of our stomachs. Amen? We need to be people that aren't ruled by our stomachs. Now listen, I understand that we as people, we all are different. We all have different dietary needs and we all have different eating stuff and we all don't look the same, and that's fine. But I'm not talking about appearance here, folks. I'm talking about not living by your stomach. Now, this Daniel fast comes from Daniel chapter 10, and what happened was that Daniel was in captivity in Babylon, and he wanted to prove something to the king, and so he said, you know what, king, I'm not going to eat like you eat for 3 weeks, and I'm going to prove to you that God is God, and that me and my men are going to be able to live, and then God's going to do great things in our midst, and it happened exactly the way that he declared. For 3 weeks, Daniel ate no choice food. He didn't eat any meat. He didn't eat any honey. He didn't have any alcohol. He didn't have any nicotine. I'm sure they didn't have Marlboros back then. He didn't eat anything from a package. He didn't eat anything that had been fried. And so he declared and said, I'm going to live for God this way and watch what happened. And it was changed. Like, his life was changed. God did miraculous things. God moved. And so what Christian churches do, and we're not the only church that does this. If you Google Daniel Fast, there's thousands of churches all over the world that do Daniel Fast at the beginning of the year. And I think it's a great time to do it. And so that's what we do. For 3 weeks, all you eat, fruits, vegetables, whole grains. That's it. Amen. I'm glad you guys are excited. Yeah. I understand the proposition, if you've never done this before, seems daunting. But believe me and trust me, church, as your pastor and as your friend, I will tell you that it's one of the most spiritually renewing times of your life if you've never been on a fast before. Now, the meaning of fast is to not take in food or drink for a time. It's to restrict the flesh. The Bible shows us that fasting usually has to do with prayer. Now, part of fasting is you don't just not eat, okay? Somebody's like, man, I didn't get to eat lunch today. Guess I fasted. Bless God. Like, no, that's not how it is. You purposefully don't eat for a period of time, and then while you're not eating, you're drawn to prayer. It's not just restricting what you're eating. And so as we go through this fast, it's important to understand that this is an opportunity for us to close into God even closer with more prayer. When you're going throughout your day and you're having physical pains of hunger, and that's going to happen, folks. Especially those of you that are addicted to caffeine, when you don't have caffeine come this Thursday, you're going to feel like you are going through withdrawals of a known substance. But ask me how I know. Amen? I used to have a 14-cup-a-day habit. I know. Dude, you ever heard of a double dopio? What it is a dopio is 2 shots of espresso. A double dopio is 4 shots of espresso. Amen? You take 4 of those with a couple Splendas, it's in a cup this big, pow, gone. So when I went through the withdrawals from caffeine, I felt like I had the flu and I was coming off drugs. I had the sweats, the shakes. I was laying in my chair. I couldn't get out of it. And so if you're addicted to something like that, this is going to be really hard for you. The good news is you got 5 days to start weaning yourself off of it. So come Thursday, you don't go into shock and call me up and say, Pastor, I think I'm dying. Now, let me say this little side note. If you're under the care of a doctor for something special, I have to always say this disclaimer. Talk to your doctor and say, Doctor, is it okay if I don't eat a bunch of junk food for the next 21 days and just see what they say? But I just want to make sure that, you know, nobody thinks I'm doing anything outside of the realm of responsibility as far as the medical stuff is concerned. We see fasting all over the Bible. Jesus fasted. And people want to be like Jesus, act like Jesus. The Bible says that once we become like our teacher, we'll become like him. Apparently, God in the flesh still saw a benefit to fasting while he was on this earth. He saw benefit to seeing spiritual strongholds broken through fasting. I love it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. It says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Yeah. It's one of the most truthful verses in the whole entire Bible. Yeah, man, after 40 days of not eating or drinking, I would be hungry too. Amen? Now, there are complete fasts, and you see those in the Bible where people didn't eat anything. Now, a complete fast, biblical fasting, is really going without any food at all. You just drink water for a period of time. And I know for some of you, you're like, what? I don't understand this. Yeah, people actually do this, where they'll not eat any food for a period of time and they'll drink only water. I'm not trying to be prideful. I'm just telling you for an example. I've done this and I do this. It's a lifestyle that Crystal and I lead throughout the year where some days we'll just fast. We'll say, hey, let's fast today. And so we won't drink anything but water for that day. And it's a time for us to just clue into God and become closer to him, kind of purge the flesh from our lives and get right with God in that area. And so people in the Bible, they did it time and time again. There's also times when the nation of Israel was called to a corporate fast where the whole entire nation would say, you know what, we're going to fast before God because we need his direction. We need God to do things in our lives. I want to show you this verse in Matthew chapter 17. I love this verse. In Matthew chapter 17, and starting verse 14, it says, when they had come, Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, and then we go. And when they had come, to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I don't know about you, that sounds like some pretty dire circumstances, doesn't it? I mean, if you have a child that's being epileptic and throwing himself into the fire, it sounds like I wouldn't want my son to do that. Verse 16, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. At this time, Jesus has been curing people, disciples have been curing people, and nothing was happening. So Jesus, he gets a little bit out of sorts here, and he says, then Jesus answered, said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Praise God. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? You've heard this verse many times. Let me read it to you. Verse 20. Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Praise God. Yeah. Now, isn't that, those are verses that get you excited, isn't it? God will move mountains. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed. Now, for some reason, people forget verse 21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. If you want to see God do supernatural things in your life, sometimes you have to go to prayer and fasting. It's not enough to just speak it and say it. Jesus himself describes and says, but this one just comes out by prayer and fasting. We as spiritual people, if we want to see God move in our lives, we've got to get out of this realm of living in the flesh of this world where we believe that we can do things exactly like the world does and expect God to move in supernatural ways. We have to get outside of our comfort zones and not allow people to tell us how we should live our lives and God forbid, actually go against the grain somewhat. The Bible declares that we're a peculiar people. People already think that you're weird. The Bible says that we're peculiar. We do things differently. Interestingly enough, all the false religions of this world seem to be more dedicated in living life differently than the people that are actually walking in the truth. I don't know why that is. You know, I don't know why it is that Muslim people can get special time at work to be able to like, hey man, I got to pray 5 times a day. I'll be out back with my prayer rug. And the Christians are like, no man, I'll be fine. I just need a smoke break. Oh man, that hurts, doesn't it? Listen man, I don't care if you smoke. Smoke all you want. It's fine. Just get to Jesus faster. I'm not talking against smoking. What I'm saying is, dude, it's fine, man. There ain't nothing in the Bible against smoking. Okay? You might have something in your life that lords over you more than Jesus, but that's between you and God. My point is this. So we can live our lives differently than the world and not have to worry about what the world thinks. And so when you put a stake in the ground and you say, you know what, I'm gonna fast right now. I'm not going to do what the world does. And everybody at your work is like, hey, man, Billy brought in donuts today. You want one? You're like, nah, man, I'm not going to have one. You're what? Why would you not have a donut? And then all of a sudden they feel like you're like condemning them. Like, what? Is it something we did? No, man, it's just between me and God. I just want to do something. He thinks he's better than us. Come on, man, just eat one chicken wing. Show us that you're one of us. If you want to see some supernatural changes in your life, you need to fast. You need to be diligent about it. Now, let me say this, man. What biblical fasting is not. As soon as I started talking about fasting, I guarantee you, what's the number, Lord? I'm guessing. 10. There's at least 10 of you, maybe 20. You've already come up with decisions why you're not going to do this. As soon as I started talking about fasting, you got on your phone, you started playing on Facebook. You're like, I ain't doing that. It's true. People come up with whatever excuse they want. You're probably already saying, you know what, Pastor? I'm not really in a place right now where I can fast, so I'm just going to give up media. I'm going to give up Facebook. I'm going to give up movies. I'm going to not exercise for 21 days. I'm going to give up, Whatever it is, man, people will come up with whatever newfangled idea they can to do whatever they have to do to not give up food. Folks, biblical fasting is food restriction. The Bible people weren't like, oh, I'm just going to not, go on Facebook for 21 days. That's how I'm going to fast. They didn't say, oh, I'm not going to go to the movies for 21 days. They didn't do that. Food. It's killing the flesh. It's killing the God of this stomach. It's enduring physical pain, suffering for Jesus. Now, as we do this Daniel fast, can you add to it? Sure, of course. I'm going to be off Facebook for 21 days. Some people are really excited about that, actually. I think I'm on there a little too much. There are wrong reasons for fasting. Some of you are really excited about this because you're going to use this as the reason to not fast. Because we have to, and it's a ritual. Okay, fasting can become ritualistic. And some people say, well, if we do this every year, isn't that a ritual? Listen, man, I'm pretty sure that for the rest of the year, you're not bringing yourself on a Daniel fast for 21 days. Most people aren't doing that. Because we want to show off to others. Nobody is impressed with your fasting at all. And I'm not trying to create some class of spirituality. You're still welcome to come to this church. If you don't do the fast, I'll know because you're going to smell like meat and I'll smell it. People, I was like, yeah, I'm fasting. I'm like, no, you're not. It's like when you're not drinking and someone's drinking, you can always smell the alcohol on them, man. And when you ain't eating meat and someone eating meat, you're like, chicken. That's beef, man. Come on, let's hug a little longer, brother. You smell so nice. Is that eau de sirloin? We don't fast because we want to gain favor with God. Now, I know that some of you, as I'm preaching, have already decided you're not going to do the fast, and more than likely, you're going to use the three reasons I just told you of why you're not doing it. Oh, it's a ritual. I don't want to show off. I don't want favor with God. But let me say this. You don't have to join the rest of your church in this fast. There's no requirement. And if you feel like it's a requirement or it's a ritual, and just for those people that are here, I mean, this is like our fifth year, so for some people, they're probably like, Pastor, you've done it for 4 years. This year, I'm just going to sit on the sidelines and watch God move. Spend some time in prayer. Like, ask God. Say, God, is there something that you can teach me through being a part of what the church is doing as a whole? And then, whatever He says, just go with that. Because I in all the times that I've ever asked God whether or not I should fast, the words barely leave my mouth when God's like, why are you asking me this? Jesus said, when you fast. When you fast. There's nothing wrong with having some spiritual discipline in your life. God, I'm just asking you if I should pray today. Some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, I don't want to show off. If it's a group fast, then everybody will know. Folks, we are a community of faith, man. Okay? We're like brothers and sisters in arms. We do things together. It's one thing to put a sign on the back of your car that says, honk for fasting, or you know what I mean? Going to work and be like, I am on a fast and everybody should know because I'm holy. It's not about that, but there's nothing wrong with us as a church joining together and saying, you know what, we're going to do this together. Amen. We're going to go before God and believe that God's going to do big things in our midst. Folks, as your pastor, I am constantly talking to God saying, what am I doing? I'm serious. Like we're established at a church. We're established as a church, right? We're into this thing 10 years. We've got a few hundred people. We're on our way. But there are big questions looming for us as a church. God wants to do more with us than what we're currently doing. And I'll be frank with you, I have no idea what it is. I don't know. Like, I've done as much as He's shown me, and I'm waiting for the next set of directions. Okay? I know this. I know that our lease is up in this current location in July, and we're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to stay here? Are we going to move? Are we going to do what we need to do? We need God to move for what we're doing. Okay? And I believe that corporate fasts, calling out to God, that God will reveal things to us and me as your pastor for what we're supposed to do. Because fasting produces more prayer. More prayer produces more revelation. Amen. And more revelation you get from God, the better it is because He can lead you to where He wants us to go. Amen? Amen. If we are sitting here the same size that we are 5 years from now in this same room, we're not doing anything different for God, I'm not sure that we'll be accomplishing what God has for us. Amen? There's a lot of lost people out there that need Jesus. There's a lot of people that need to be touched with the truth of the gospel. We need God to provide for us, individually and corporately. You know, what's interesting is that people always pray that they want more, and for some reason the way that people want more is trying to get more versus giving up things to get more. And what I love about food is like the last thing. Like, when you talk about like the basic needs that humans have, like, water is number one. Excuse me, let me back up. Air, okay? bless God, we're not doing an air fast. Okay? You need air. Okay? Water. You get that. Look, you're already halfway there. You get air and water. Bless God.
Amen.
And the next one is food. So when you start rapping on people taking away their food, they're like, wait a minute, man. What did I just get myself into? This fast here, you even get to eat. Did you know there's people all over the planet that don't go on a Daniel fast? They just live in a Daniel fast of only getting to eat rice.
That's right.
That's their whole entire life. They come to our country and like, you guys have a whole aisle for food for dogs? It's true. Talk to people from other countries and they're amazed at the opulence that we have and that the way in which we live our lives. And so me, as your pastor, asking you to restrict your diet for spiritual reasons for 21 days, I'll be frank, I don't think it's that big of an ask.
Amen.
There's right reasons for fasting because we want to humble ourselves before God to say, you know what, God? There's nothing in my life that's more important than you, not even my food. There's nothing in my life that I need more than you, God. Because we want it to be a form of worship. God, I'm doing it not because Pastor convinced me, but because the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I want to do this as an act of worship to you. With every bite of beans, with every lump of hummus, with every piece of fruit enjoyed, I just want to do it as worship unto you. You know, do you know how lucky you are that it felt like we're starting at January 2nd on a Thursday? In years past, we would always start it on a Sunday, and we learned we're not doing that again. I tell you, you take away coffee and everything else. The first year it happened, me and Pastor Jay almost got in a fist fight in the foyer on the first day. You guys, am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
We were in a shouting match, and everybody's like, whoa. It's the only time I've ever shouted in church in anger was on the first day of the Daniel fast with my best friend in the back of the church. It was fantastic. So you get 2 days away from everybody else, man. Thursday, Friday. I guess that's three. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The truth is, fasting should be a regular part of our spiritual life.
Amen.
Just like praying, giving, serving, reading your Bible, fasting should be a part of our lives. Jesus said, Matthew 6, verse 16, when you fast, not if.
Right.
Jesus said, if you fast. He said, when you fast.
Amen.
When you fast, you become supernaturally aware of the things of God. You become spiritually hungry. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The truth is, and I know that some people in this room that I know, if you've ever grown up poor, been poor, currently poor, or have had to go without food, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you, like, you're going to bed eating, you know, a piece of bread or nothing, you know? Some of you all know what I'm talking about. And if you've been through that, you know what it's like to go without. But the truth is, it's really easy to just become comfortable. It's really easy to realize that, like, we're blessed to live where we live, to have what we have, to be able to eat what we eat. I mean, we have more food available to us ever than in the history of any civilization ever at our fingertips. It's everywhere. And so we kind of lose this side of believing that, like, God is my provider. Like, God sustains me. God gives me good things to eat. And I'll tell you, after going through this experience, you will never forget how wonderful it is to be able to eat, like, choice food. Bless God.
Amen.
It actually becomes something that's special. It used to be that food, there was actually special food. You didn't, like, eat cake every single day. It was just, like, a couple times a year. Amen?
Amen.
Now, excuses people use. Let me talk to you excuse people. You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Man, this is some good preaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
Man, so good. I amen myself. Now, some of you that are here are telling yourselves, I did this last year, Pastor. I don't need to do it again. That's not a good excuse.
Nope.
Let me tell you why. Now, people say this, I did it last year, and usually what they'll say is, I did it last year, and I didn't really get anything out of it. Well, if you didn't get anything out of it, you did it wrong.
Yeah.
It's true. It's like anything else. Like, if you do it wrong, you won't get anything out of it. So when you go through the Daniel fast, the point isn't to get on the internet and try to find a way to make Daniel fast cookies. Because there's a recipe for it, man. Believe you me, I looked. But then after I realized that I had to get, like, fig butter, which I had no idea what fig butter was up until the Daniel fast, I just thought, man, I'm not sure if I'm making stuff out of fig butter. Maybe I'm losing the point of the fast, which is to actually, like, have to hurt a little bit. The point isn't to try to find a way to just eat the most choice food that is on the Daniel fast. The point is to actually have to go through a little bit of pain.
Yeah.
Restriction. That's the point. The point isn't trying to game the system. Some of the excuses people use, they say, I don't want to have to rearrange my diet. Yeah, I know. None of us do, man. Welcome. I would eat pancakes every single day if I could. But you can't eat pancakes and big fat burgers every single day and expect to be like walking in divine health. It just doesn't work that way. Amen? You have to rearrange your diet somewhat to do this Daniel fast. And it's hard. You have to choose what you're going to do and how you're going to do it ahead of time. You have to look ahead in your schedule and be like, maybe I should eat before I go to that banquet. Crystal and I, for like the first 3 years during the Daniel fast, we would always end up at the Young Life banquet that was serving barbecue. And I don't know if you've ever sat in front of barbecue when you hadn't had meat for 2 weeks, but man, it feels weird to sit at a banquet and just look at each other and just be like, we're just going to have some water, bless God. And they're like, those people are weird. We just had to plan it. My mom, God bless her, her birthday's January 11th, same as Brother Ryan back there, January 11th. For the last 5 years, my mom has complained because I never take her out to dinner on her birthday. It's like, what kind of son do I have? Well, you take me out to dinner on my birthday. I'm like, Mom, I will take you out after the Daniel fast. It's like, I'm so tired of you guys being on the Daniel fast. Can't we go out for a nice dinner? I'm like, Mom, we go out for a nice dinner anytime you want, just not January 11th, because your pastor's son is doing a Daniel fast.
Amen.
And you know, I mean, if she was here, I would say the same thing. She'd be like, that's right. Like, But I don't care. Like, I don't care if the rest of the world isn't doing it. I don't care if my family thinks that I'm weird. I don't care if I have to actually go without a slice of pizza for 21 days. I believe there's a spiritual benefit to doing it. Amen?
Amen.
Another excuse people use, I don't need to fast to prove anything to God or anyone. And it's true. But if you're being completely honest, the real reason is you just don't want to do it.
That's right.
People just don't want to do it. It's like, I don't need to prove anything to God. God knows exactly where your heart is at. He knows that if the real reason you're doing it is just because you don't want to do it. And that's a valid answer. It's just not very good. We've lost this pursuit of Christian disciplines. And after this fast, my hope is honestly that you would become a person that's called a true fast throughout the year, of a water fast. This isn't even true biblical fasting in the sense of a complete fast. It's a gift that you get 21 days to eat food. My hope is that you're going to get to a point where you're like, you know what? I'm going to fast today. And you're not going to tell anybody. You're not going to maybe share it with your spouse so they don't cook you anything to eat. But you just say, I'm just going to drink water today. And you do it as unto the Lord. And you'll see God move, man. You see amazing things happen. Now, the longest I've ever done a water fast is 3 days. And I don't say that to be prideful. I'm just saying that it's possible. Like, it's possible to go 3 days on just water. And I'll tell you, after that second day, man, you feel like you're floating above the air. You can look through walls and you can walk on water. Like, it's just the truth, man. The first day's hard. Second day's harder. Third day, you're like, what's food, man? I don't even need it. And then you, like, walk around with, like, this spiritual bravado. Like, look at all these food eaters, man. Look at how they're being controlled by their flesh. I don't need nothing but Jesus. It's true, man. Like, it gives you, like, this spiritual bravado on the inside where you feel like you're connected and walking with God, because there's nothing in your life that's hindering your ability to be able to connect with God. People don't want to fight the flesh. But fasting was a normal practice of the early church in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, let me tell you some benefits. Fasting is going to supercharge your effort to accomplish God's purposes. As you sit in this church, my prayer for you is that you're always asking God, God, what do you want from me? Where do you want to take me? There's no such thing as spectator Christianity. Being a Christian is not coming in and watching somebody else sing songs, have me tell you something, you're like, oh, that was good, and then walk out and your life doesn't change. That's not what Christianity is. When we worship God together as a corporate community, I believe that as I speak, it's actually God Himself speaking to you through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures. And then you take that experience after we've loved on and encouraged one another, and we go out to a dying world and we change their lives. That's how the whole process works. And so it supercharges those efforts. It gives you that ability to be able to ask God and say, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to affect my neighbors? How do you want me to affect the people at my job? How do you want to use me in this world to go out and change the world because of you? And what fasting does is it develops a spiritual hunger for God. Once you break the flesh and the wanting of food, you're going to hunger for God because you're going to realize He's the only one that's going to sustain you. He's the only one that's going to comfort you. When you're feeling down and you're out and you go to the cupboard and you're like, oh man, 7 Oreos will solve this problem. All of a sudden you're like, you know what? I can't have 7 Oreos. I can't have anything to drink. I can't go out and have a cigarette. I can only be found wholly and completely in Him. And it develops a spiritual hunger for God. So then that way, after the fast, you can just have a few Oreos to have a few Oreos. And you're not becoming an emotional eater that's trying to solve some deficit in your life through having something to eat. Do you know that choice food releases endorphins in your brain just like any other drug? It's true. Your body craves sugar, man. And so when you have sugar, your body wants more sugar. And so you get that endorphin rush, and ask me how I know this, you have it, and then like 60 to 90 minutes later, you're like, man, I didn't think I'd want another piece of pie, but I think I will. Come on, man, somebody help me out. You guys look like pie eaters trying to act like I'm the only one. Like, that's for you, Pastor. Fasting recharges, man. I mean, it'll revitalize an area of your life. If there's an area of your life that you felt like it's been you've been struggling, like you haven't had joy in, fasting will recharge that. Like all of a sudden, you're able to serve God a new way and worship Him in a new way without that same sluggishness that you've had before. I mean, it produces these spiritual breakthroughs. And I'm imploring you and encouraging you because I believe that as you do this, you're going to experience these spiritual breakthroughs like you haven't experienced before. In years past, we've seen people healed and people have gotten jobs and people have been restored and forgiveness has been taken out of their lives and unforgiveness has been taken out of their lives. Like all those different things have happened during the fast. And I believe that this fast, if you would write down and say, God, these are areas of my life I want to see moved or even moved for other people. Maybe your life is, you know what? Maybe your life's perfect, man. Maybe you got, you know, a great job and a bunch of money and car runs great and you got a ton of friends and all you do is just sit around. Well, actually, when you take a bath, you lay on top of it because you walk on water. Maybe that's your life. But I know a bunch of broken people, man. I know a lot of broken people. And you can actually go out and you can fast for somebody else. There's been times when I've fasted for my wife. She was praying and she was having an issue with something and she couldn't see through it. And the Lord was like, why don't you fast for her? And I was like, well, heck, man, why do I got to not eat for her? Wouldn't she be fasting? But bless God, honey, you remember that. I did it for 3 days and a spiritual breakthrough happened in her life because I fasted. And it was funny. It wasn't the act of not eating. It was probably because I was so much in prayer during that time that God moved. It was the first time I ever did a 3-day water fast. And it wasn't even for myself. It was for my wife. It was because I wanted to see God move in her life. You can do the Daniel fast and pray for other people during this time. And it promotes a disciplined lifestyle. Like we as Christians, we need to have a measure of discipline. Again, I say you're here today. You show that you have the capacity to be disciplined and show it up to church. But we need to have discipline in our lives, not to earn our salvation, but because our salvation's been earned. It's a testimony to the rest of this world that serves the God of their stomachs that, like, we are ruled by nothing else except God. I'm not on some special diet. I'm not going to take any special drops. I'm not going to do any. The only thing I'm taking is drops of the Holy Ghost to be able to help me through this time in my life where I'm restricting myself from some food. Amen? Fasting improves prayer. If you struggle in your prayer life, fasting is going to get you to pray like you've never prayed before, especially if you're addicted to caffeine. Amen? You're going to be coming out to God in prayer. If you're addicted to sugar, and honestly, that's me, man. I get addicted to sugar. I get addicted to the white death. Crystal and I will say at our house, man, I'm on the sugar train. I got to get off. Like, and so the Daniel fast is a way for us to get off the sugar train. And then all of a sudden, you just kind of wean yourself off of it. And you don't love it as much. Last 2 points. Fasting has physical benefits as well. I believe that people that aren't healthy struggle to be able to do things for God. Amen. If you're not healthy, You can't stay up late with somebody in prayer. You can't go to a hospital visit late at night. You can't get out of bed with a vigor to be able to change the world. And so there's a lot of health benefits that come from fasting. Me personally, usually on the first day or two of the fast, I'll completely do water only for the first day or two because I just want to purge my system of all the toxins in my body. Folks, our food has so many preservatives and pesticides and all these other things, and you would be amazed when you go a day or two where you just have clean, fresh water, not tap water, like purified or distilled, whatever it takes to have just clean water, not your tap. Like my tap is brown, like I don't know what it is. But you will find that your body just works better. Like your brain functions better and your body begins to heal itself. Your skin clears up. Your joints don't hurt. There is physical benefits from fasting. There's times during the year when I have a cold that I just fast and my body heals itself. God created this thing to not live on a steady diet of fried food. It's just the way that it is. It can lead to shedding unwanted body weight. This year was the first year that I usually weigh about, when I started the fast last year, I was about 256. And I got down to about 242 in 21 days. And this was the first year that I didn't get over 250 for the whole entire year. I actually shed weight that I kept off for the whole entire year. And again, it's not about a scorecard. It's just about understanding that, like, it teaches you that you do not need as much food as you eat, and you don't need food as bad as you think that you need it. I used to be a guy who was totally and completely ruled by my stomach. My wife will tell you. I used to wanted to eat at 8, 12, and 5. And if I didn't eat at 8, 12, and 5, I felt it was my right to be mean to everybody else around me because Matt wasn't eating. And so, because it's like this just basic thing. So at like dinner time, we would be like driving and I'd be like, we've got to eat. When does Matt get to eat? You know, I was just an ogre, man. Amen? Yeah, my wife will tell you. And fasting broke me of that addiction to food. Like I, 5 years ago, I learned through the Daniel fast that I preach better hungry. So most days, I don't eat until after church on Sunday, second service. You know, we get up at 6:30 on Sunday morning, and then I don't eat every Sunday until we go to lunch. Every once in a while, somebody will bless me with a donut in the back, and I'll eat it in Jesus' name. But for the most part, like I don't eat on Sunday mornings because I learned through Daniel fast that God does more powerful things, and I don't have to be ruled by my stomach. I know now, after fasting for days on end, if I'm going to eat today, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. If we're at a school event and all of a sudden a meal gets skipped, or you know, you go somewhere and something happens, or God forbid, you're at a restaurant and it takes a while for your food to get there, you don't have to ruin everybody else's day just because, you know, I'm here to be served, and how come they don't bring my food faster, and we're never coming back here again. You're like, wow, maybe they're busy and the world doesn't revolve around me and I can just sit here and talk and eventually I'll eat and it'll be fine. And maybe we could be different than the rest of the world. Is that possible? Maybe we can actually live our lives differently. So here, let me give you some tips and then we'll get out of here. Corporate or church-wide fast, it's time for us to detoxify as a congregation. I believe that there's sins in all of our lives, myself included, that these will come up to the surface. The Holy Spirit will blow them away and we can move together as a refined, holy people to do great things for God. Just as our toxins are removed from our bodies, those spiritual toxins will be removed also. And it's part of God's refining process, okay? Now, tips are this. Today is Sunday. Fast starts Thursday. Plan now. Don't wake up Thursday morning and look at your spouse and be like, dude, so how are we going to do this fast thing? Oh, well, we'll start tomorrow, man. We can make us some eggs. It'd be good. Like, go online to our church website, faithandvictory.com. There's a whole entire slew of information there about the Daniel fast, about what you can eat, what you can't eat. And go out today or sometime before Thursday and get the food necessary that you need to be able to do the fast. The truth is, it's cheaper to eat on the Daniel fast than it is the regular food. You're not going to go out and eat, you know, and spend money at a restaurant so you can just, you know, live off the stuff in the Daniel fast, but you have to prepare ahead of time. Get some clean, fresh water. And I know I'm not being weird about it. Don't drink the fluoride. They control your mind. Like, I'm not that kind of guy with the water. But my point is, like, if you go to the Covington Water District, you go to their website, you print it out, and the fine print at the bottom, it says, immunodeficient people should not drink this water without speaking to their doctor first. And I'm like, what? Yeah, that's what it said. And I called the dude up, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. If you don't have cancer, you should be fine. And I'm like, So we bought a water purifier, man. I only drink purified water. That's all I want because I figured my body's a lot of percent of water, and so the more water I have, the better off it'd be. Water is your friend during the Daniel fast. It makes you feel full. It cleans out the toxins. Helps with digestion. Drink tons and tons of water. Buy your food ahead of time. Figure out recipes now. Plan ahead now. Look at your schedule and say, you know what? Interestingly enough, I'm going to eat lunch every day. So plan your lunches. Bring them to work. Plan what you're going to do in situations when people around you are going to be frustrated and be yelling at you and forcing you and eating in front of you. How are you going to act? What are you going to say? What are you going to decide? How are you going to live? Because if you plan ahead, you're going to be that much more successful. So if you want to make heaven, fast. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did y'all get something out of that?
Yes.
Are you going to fast?
Yes.
About two-thirds said yes. This is what I want to do. Would you, before we pray and before you play, I just want to make a quick announcement. Pastor Todd does have a small group that's coming up, and it's the Web Apostles Group. The Web Apostles Group is, just by a show of hands, if you found this church through the internet, would you just raise your hand? Oh, wow. Apparently it works. So Todd is going to teach people, and as a group, as you're fellowshipping, doing a lot of things on the web to even increase our presence on the web, because it's a great way to be able to reach people for the gospel. So if you have an iPad or a Nexus or you have a laptop, if you can get on the internet, you can come to Todd's group and he's going to teach you stuff. It's really good for business owners too. If you want to learn how to market your business, Todd will teach you all the tips and tricks of what you can do to get your business out there. So it'll be really good. So get with Pastor Todd for that. And with that, will you bow your heads when you join me for a minute here? Just a few more minutes, man. The good news is you get to eat whatever you want today. Amen. You got to Red Robin. Go get you some chicken. Get you a dozen donuts, man. Eat whatever you want. Fast starts on Thursday. But would you just take a moment and would you let this message sink down in your spirit? And would you make a decision today whether or not you're going to do this fast? Just today, make a decision. Not to me, to God. Okay? God just uses me to preach things to you that you need to change. Make a decision today, and I'm not going to have you raise your hand because that would just make me feel better. I'm just trusting that everybody's going to do it. So make a decision right now before you and God. Say, God, I'm going to do this. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you're like, man, fasting, I don't even know who God is. Let me help you out here for a second. If you don't know who Jesus is, he wants to become real to you today, right now. The way it works is that God wants to be in relationship with you, and the way that you get in relationship with God is you receive Jesus as your Savior. Savior means somebody that's saving you from something. What that means is that basically we're born into sin and we need God to save us from ourselves. And so by believing basically the Easter story that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again, that we can live for eternity with God. And I believe that God is strong enough and the Holy Spirit smart enough to reveal to you everything that you need to know to walk with Him. And I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to that before we pray. So if you've never given your life to Jesus before and you'd like to do that today, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I've never done that before. Today's a great day to do it. Is anybody here? Want to make a decision? Praise God. All right. So everybody here is a believer in Jesus. Fantastic. All the more reason why you should fast. Let's pray on this fasting thing here. Father God, we just thank you for this message and for this challenge, God, that we would just become people that live a disciplined spiritual lifestyle. And God, if this Daniel fast can be a means by which we can do that, God, we receive it. God, I pray for strength to be able to endure during this 21 days. God, I pray that it would just be a spiritual time for all of us. God, I pray that it would unify us as a church. God, I pray for spiritual breakthroughs in the lives of individuals and in the lives of all the people in this church. God, I pray that this would be a defining moment in our spiritual lives. Even those of us that are doing this for the fifth year, God, that this would just be a time of renewal, that it'll be a time of change, God, that we'll see you move in ways that we've never seen before. God, I just pray that you would help us to be able to do it, God, and that would be to your glory and to your name. And Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. And all God's fasting people said,
Amen.
Amen.